September 9th meeting of the Ventnor City Planning Board is now in session. This meeting is being held in accordance with due public notice thereof and pursuant to the New Jersey State Sunshine Law. Notice this meeting was advertised in the press and the Current, and a copy of the same has been posted on the bulletin board in the municipal building. At this time, we'll rise and salute the flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America.
And to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God,
indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Will the board administrator please call the roll?
Commissioner Landgraf.
Here.
Commissioner Kriebel.
Here.
Jay Cook.
Here.
Roman Zabi Hutch.
Here.
Lorraine Salata. Here. Dan Smith III. He did not sign on. Mike Wiesen.
Here.
Absent are Tom Halpin, Peter Taco, Tim Koob, Greer Gaskell, and Wendy Bartlett.
Okay. At this time, I will move to adopt the meetings, the minutes of the August 24th meeting. Are there any amendments or corrections to said minutes? Hearing none, may I have a motion and a second for adoption, please?
I'll make a motion.
I'll second it.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. The minutes are hereby adopted. There are three resolutions that will be adopted this evening. They are P-29-2020 of Dante and Eleonora Vespertino, P-30-2020 Kenneth and Kathleen Colemo, and P-31-2020 Barry Sable. Are there any changes or amendments to said resolutions? If not, may I have a motion and a second for adoption, please?
Make a motion.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye on the first two, abstain from the last.
And an abstention for the commissioner on the last. Okay, the motion carries. At this time, we have applications this evening. Before we start the applications, Leo, is there anything that we have to be advised of?
No, not at this point. I know I wanted to have a brief discussion. We could do it afterwards on our next meeting. I know I had some discussions with Lance as to maybe doing a hybrid approach for the next meeting, which I'm fine with. I just want to make sure, and cut me off and say we'll talk about this later if you want to talk about it later.
I think we should do it now.
Okay.
Let's just get it done.
The only thing, I guess, if let's say, for example, an applicant and their witnesses show up and they're there live, and then someone, a neighbor, someone from the public's participating by Zoom, will they be able to follow along with the presentation sufficiently that would be happening in City Hall? That was my only concern. I don't know if Jim has any thoughts on that. Or
I can address that something, Leo. So the picture won't be from a computer desktop. The picture that you will see on Zoom will be from there's an eyeball camera to the left of the dais if you're facing the dais.
Okay.
So that is what everyone will see. They'll see the whole room. The presentation will be done via PDF files on the computer. I don't know. I mean, I think we can do it. Brigantine's been doing fully live meetings for the last 2 months.
Right.
I don't know.
Let's try it.
Meetings. Now, granted, we haven't had presentations, but we've got a really good system set up for our commission meetings where it's both remote and live meeting. I don't know. I'm open for discussion. What does everybody think?
I think we have to start moving to the hybrid to start getting back to some closer to normal.
How about truly live?
I have no problem with Zoom meetings for now.
Other board members' opinion? Hi, Wendy. Let the record reflect that Wendy Bartlett has joined us.
Hello.
Hi, Wendy.
All right, a member, other members have any opinion on this, weighing in?
I know. I'm fine with it. Go ahead, Roman.
I said I'm fine with it.
I'd like to see a hybrid and then go back to full meetings.
I like to see a hybrid and go back to full meetings.
Yeah, it just affects the way that we notice as a board and as the applicants notice. That's why I just wanted to have the discussion so we can start instructing applicants to mention, you know, give them the option. Still provide the Zoom information, but they'll have the option to appear live.
Now, will the board be present? The board will be present in whole at the commission chambers or not?
Doesn't have to be.
I would think they'd have the same option. Is that?
So board members have the option of being at commission chambers or being on Zoom.
Right. It works well in our commission meetings, and I think it brings out more of the public. Because it's, you know, it's easier for people to schedule around their lives. But I think that there is a benefit to the public meeting. I think so the hybrid is, I think, a good, in my opinion, is a good call.
Right. Well, for myself, I will go to City Hall. I did it initially when we first started, and I will go back to City Hall, and because I think my presence is better suited there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And everything will still have to be posted online. So if you know, so anyone who can wants to appear by Zoom will still have access to everything on our website. And I'll let everyone know for the next meeting, we're going to do it hybrid.
Right. And board members have the option of either going to City Hall or being on Zoom. Nothing is mandatory.
Hey, less board members missing if they were away. Like for instance, when I go to Florida for November and January part-time, right. You know, I could just, you know, pop in instead of missing the meeting.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
That'd be great. Okay. Let's continue on. First case this evening is that of 100 South Dudley Avenue, William Bernstein. Let's come forward. Let's get the applicant up and presenting.
You want me to speak? Hello? Can you hear me?
I think Chris will start. He's still on mute.
Is you Mr. Bernstein?
I'm Dr. Bernstein, yes.
Dr. Bernstein. Okay. Let's let you open with you. You have an attorney, Chris Balanson?
I do.
I'm here.
Okay.
Your system administrator was muting me and blocking my video.
Okay.
They wanted your face on there, Jay.
Okay. Mr. Bernstein, Mr. Balanson, well, I guess we'll conduct your side. And you can, he'll accordingly go.
Thank you.
Let's have you sworn at this time, Mr. Bernstein, or Dr. Bernstein.
If you're going to do that, Jay, have Michael Colchin as the project architect will need to be sworn as well.
Well, let's get him sworn as well.
Okay, so Dr. Bernstein and Mr. Colchin, just state your name and address or business address for the record. I'll swear you in together.
Sure. Michael W. Colchin, architect, 6021 3rd Street, Mays Landing, New Jersey.
And Dr. Bernstein? Bernstein, I'm sorry.
Bernstein.
Thank you. William Bernstein, you want my home address in Philadelphia?
Whatever you want to give us.
100 South Dudley.
All right. Can you each raise your right hand? Do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Let the record reflect that Mr. Colchin,
yes.
You are a licensed architect?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Let the record reflect that Mr. Colchin in New Jersey is acceptable as a witness.
Thank you, Mr. Cook.
Okay. Now, if we could, Roger, could you do a preamble on this as we jump first as we did?
Roger, I'll get you sworn real quick. Mr. McLaren, please raise your right hand. Do you swear affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth?
He'll give a preamble and then you'll come into it and do your presentation.
Okay.
Yes. Okay.
Roger, please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, board members. My report is based on the application of William Bernstein, Block 17, Lot 6.01, 100 South Dudley Avenue, Ventnor, New Jersey. Engineering and planning review. It's situated within the R1 single-family district. It's a substantial benefit variance. The materials reviewed are on page one at the bottom, including Mr. Colchin's plans, site photos, tax information. Page two is the project description and a zoning chart. The applicant proposes to construct an addition that includes enlarging two front yard decks and adding a rear yard deck, swimming pool, and pavers. The additional area of the front yard decks creates a variance for the building coverage. The other additions comply with zoning requirements. As you can see in the zoning chart, there are two variances identified. They are as follows. One is the front yard setback to a third floor deck, whereas 15 feet or within the building envelope, no encroachment into any yard, is the required minimum front yard setback. 15 feet exists and 10 feet is proposed. This is based on definitions of third floor decks. It's an expansion of a non-conforming third floor deck. Again, there is an existing third floor deck there now that is not conforming, but when it was built, it was probably conforming. The second variance is building coverage, whereas 35% is the maximum building coverage permitted and 40.64% is proposed. The general review comments are as we are familiar with the third floor deck, it has to be inset within the building envelope. It is not. Building and coverage is increased by a little bit by adding impermeable decking, which is functioning as a roof over the first floor deck and the second floor deck and requires a variance. Plans do not show the location of the pool equipment. Again, that's a semantics. If they provide that for the compliance plans and they comply with zoning, I think that's a condition of approval. If they are approved, some landscaping, including trees and shrubs, will be removed due to construction activity. My suggestion is to mitigate the number of shrubs and trees removed. There is no governorship on Atlantic Avenue. I don't know if the board would want to require them to saw cut the concrete along that whole block. There is not on Atlantic Avenue. There is not a grass governorship at this time. There also are not any street trees on any street frontage. That could be a suggestion, is maybe cut open a street opening or the sidewalk to add street trees on Atlantic Avenue only. The recommendations are on page 3 and 4. And again, the plans must be revised for any board members, board recommendations. And to relocate the existing fence behind a property line, otherwise it's technically an encroachment license, but it's behind a shrub, so nobody will know anyway. Again, mitigate the loss of trees and shrubs due to construction, if granted. And that concludes my report.
Thank you, Mr. McLaren and Mr. Cook, members of the board. Nice to see everybody. It's Chris Balanchine with Bill Burstein.
Chris, before you start, I have a little housekeeping. Let the record reflect that, again, Wendy Bartlett has joined us, and also Dan Smith is also present. Mr. Bailison, continue, please.
Thank you. I represent Dr. Burstein, who owns for about 2 years now 100 South Dudley Avenue, Block 17, Lot 6.01. It's the house on the ocean side of Atlantic Avenue on the Longport side of the street on the corner. The application before you tonight should not be too difficult. What Mr. Burstein proposes is to enhance the outdoor living space at the property by enlarging the front decks on Dudley Avenue. Unfortunately, what has happened since the house was built is that the two houses to the ocean side of it were also reconstructed, but reconstructed forward of it, closer to the street. Those decks, as you see, are tucked back toward the side of the house. His decks are. And the new buildings next to him have just kind of killed him. If you look at the photographs I have provided, I think as you get to the third floor deck or the second floor deck, even as you come out to it, what you look at to your right is the wall of the house next to you. So he would like to bring those decks out slightly to recapture some beach or ocean views. One of the reasons you spend that kind of money in Ventnor for a beach block house. There is also a proposal for a deck in the middle of the property, which would be accessory to the pool, which is there, and the pool equipment is also there. Mr. McLaren, it's situated in the garage and it's already installed. The deck to the middle of the property is right where you see in the photographs or the plan, the garage location, and extends slightly toward Longport and slightly toward the bay. Mr. Colchins can give you those dimensions. The upshot of that work is a building coverage variance of about 5%, 35% is permitted, 40% and some change is proposed. Now, I will say that the deck situation as it pertains to building coverage, if those decks were of a Trex material or a decking material with spacing between them that drained, they would not count towards your building coverage and this plan would comply. It's difficult to do that, though, in this situation when the existing decks, both at the front of the house and to the rear, are fiberglass and non-permeable, and that we would like to extend them in the same form of construction that they are now. The deck at the middle of the house to accessory to the pool at the first floor is being constructed over existing concrete. So that's a kind of a wash in terms of any detriment to drainage because there's none now, and the construction of that deck is not going to change that. The decks at the front of the property are set back such that the request will be to bring them to a front yard setback of 10 feet consistent right from top to bottom. That will require the second floor deck and the third floor deck to request variance. The third floor deck does not comply with the design constraints that you guys adopted a couple years ago, but it's an existing deck. And it can't come within the roof line. It's asked that we expand it to recapture some views, but I think for purposes of compliance with the intent of the ordinance, you've met that because of the location of the house. Number one, the deck is tucked to the side of the third floor deck is tucked to the side of the house, and then you have a sidewalk and you have street in front, and you have essentially the back of the neighbor's house next to it. And Dr. Bursey has spoken to those neighbors, and they have no problem with what's proposed. But it really is not a situation where this deck can affront anybody next to it by the way it's been constructed. I'd like Michael Colchins to give you some more detail as to the dimensions and the variances, and he can testify to those and answer any questions you guys may have with respect to the variances. Mike?
Okay. So, as Kristen explained, basically there's two different.
Okay, question. First of all, do you have a PDF of this that you can please put up on the rather than a camera on the print?
This is the first time I've ever used Zoom, so I wouldn't know how to enter a PDF into Zoom.
The answer, Jay, is I don't think Michael has the capability with his equipment to do that.
All right.
Everybody has a plan, though. It was submitted with the application packages, I hope.
Yes.
All right. Thanks.
I'm concerned about the public. That was all.
Okay.
I got you.
But in the future, we want to have PDFs with availability so that they can, with the plans so they can be put up.
Gotcha.
Okay. So,
Michael, do your explanation is assuming that everybody is looking at the plan. So be as relative as simple, for lack of a better word, as simple as possible with it and as clear as possible with where on the plan you're talking about.
Okay. So there's two areas of proposed construction. On Dudley Avenue, we are proposing to extend a front porch and two levels of deck above it to the 10-foot setback line. And that would be consistent with other construction on the block. And it should not affect anybody's views because we're at the end of the block. The second area of construction is the rear of the property and also the Atlantic Avenue side, where there is an existing single-story garage. The garage has a flat roof deck over top of it. We are proposing to extend the flat roof deck 3 feet into the rear yard and 8 foot over the driveway towards the Atlantic Avenue.
Look at that.
Oh. Thank you, Jim.
So we do have a PDF.
Right.
No problem.
All right. Thank you, Jim.
So, Michael, you're speaking about the deck in the middle of the house. Kind of looking at this PDF, kind of guide the board and the public to that location and repeat what it is you were talking about the proposal being.
Okay, so if you look at the site plan, at the top of the site plan, in the rear yard, you have a pool.
On the far right of the top of the plan?
Can you see my pointer or no?
Yes.
You can see my pointer. There's somebody's pointer on there. At the top of the plan in the back of the house, there is a one-story garage with an existing roof deck over top of it that's accessible from the second level of the existing house.
From the kitchen, right?
Yeah, so we are proposing to extend that existing deck 3 feet into the rear yard.
So three feet toward Margate?
Yes.
Toward the pool?
Yeah, towards the pool. Yes. Three feet towards the pool. That's a good way of explaining it. And we are also proposing to extend it 8 feet towards Atlantic Avenue over top of the existing driveway. Yep. That deck, there is no roof above it. There is no projection underneath of it. Based on my interpretation of your definition of building coverage, I'm not even sure if it really constitutes additional building coverage, but the interpretation I got from Jim Agnesino was if it was made out of impermeable materials, which we have to do because the existing roof deck is impermeable, it would constitute additional building coverage based on that alone, regardless of the fact that there's no roof above it and there's no projection below it other than paving.
Michael, the ordinance definition of building coverage is with respect to these decks is what? It's just a sentence, and you can the board understands what you're talking about.
I'll read the whole definition. So building coverage definition is that percentage of a lot covered by the principal building, period. All projections attached to the principal building covered by a permanent roof shall be considered part and parcel of said principal building. So
what we are proposing has no permanent roof.
Yeah, it has no roof above it, and there's no, in my opinion, there's no projection below it.
And so you would believe, looking at that ordinance, that doesn't count toward building coverage. But you've been told
I didn't think it counted as coverage. But the interpretation I got was what the mere fact that it's built of impermeable materials constitutes building coverage. But to me, that doesn't make any sense because you have a whole different restriction under lot coverage that deals with impermeable.
But it also forms the roof over the driveway.
Yeah, it's been the board's interpretation also.
And okay. it forms a roof over the driveway, and it's a projection. So therefore, it's a roof.
Well, it says,
Michael, we're not going to go there tonight. But the idea, Mr. Cook, was to try and come up with a plan that was variance free.
That's fine.
And because we're here because of that language and our being advised that it does constitute building coverage.
I understand where you're coming from. Okay. Thank
Very
you.
Very good.
I guess the argument I would make is that if we didn't count that as the additional coverage, we would only be asking for a very little bit of additional coverage on the Dudley Avenue side, plus the setback restriction. And even including that, we're only asking for 5% more building coverage.
And let's move to the Dudley Avenue side. You touched upon it. The second and third floor deck. Would you expound on that, please?
Yeah, those two decks are the front porch and the second floor deck are 15 foot, even with the
house.
They're more than that. They're even with the corner of the inside corner of the turret. So we're trying to extend them to be consistent with other decks on the block that are set back 10 feet so that Mr. Bernstein can recapture some views that he lost when houses were built and the decks were extended to the 10-foot setback.
In your observation of the property and the properties next door to it, that 10-foot setback just to the decks, that would be consistent with the houses down the block.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes, that's what we're trying to do. We're just trying to be consistent with the other houses on the block.
Now, Michael, with respect to justification under the Land Use Act, what we discussed was the aesthetic enhancement to the front of the house on Dudley Avenue.
Yeah,
Do you think that this plan advances that purpose of the act, which speaks to aesthetically enhancing properties within the municipality?
I believe it does. It's a more uniform look with all the decks even, and we're going to be using better quality materials than existing. The ground floor porch and columns are going to be stone versus fiberglass, right? They're existing. I think some of the detailing on the existing railings and column surrounds is not the highest quality. So I'm proposing, you know, better materials and better detail on the columns and the railings. So overall, I think it would be an improvement over the existing.
And with respect to any substantial impact to the public good or to the zone plan or the zoning ordinance, do you think the deck extensions as proposed have a substantial impact on the public good?
No, they're consistent with other houses on a block, and this house is on the corner of the block, so it's not affecting anybody else on that block.
Okay, do these decks impact any views of any of the other houses around?
No.
And why not?
It's the end of the block, so nobody else, you know, they're the last houses that aren't impacting anybody else. And they're also, and the whole idea was to design these, the decks to be consistent with the other houses on the block.
And with respect to any insult or injury to the zone plan and the zoning ordinance, do you think there's a significant impact to the zone plan and the zoning ordinance?
No, they're asking for fairly reasonable
relief,
additional coverage and setback, and I think it's consistent with the plan.
Board members, I will say that when you look at and analyze the building coverage variance, I mean, generally, our coverage controls, for the most part, are to control density, and that would be density, the size of the structure, and drainage. The nice thing about this plan and justification, I believe, for the variance is that your lot coverage complies in this instance by some, I think it's 50, 60 is permitted and 58 is proposed. So in terms of site drainage and permeability, the site will drain as is contemplated by the ordinance with lot coverage complying. In terms of the density or the size of the building, that's not changing. The only thing we are asking to do is expand the outside living space, which would give Dr. Burstein some additional areas to enjoy the property and enjoy the area, but not, while at the same time not increasing the size of the building, so the massing of the building on the street doesn't change. And with that, I will say that the setback on Atlantic Avenue, I know Mr. Cook would ask me, this, the setback on Atlantic Avenue to the new deck is still 16 feet. So it easily complies with the front yard setback control. And with that, I can tell you, with respect to Roger's report, we, of course, will replace any landscaping that is removed, whether it's a tree, a bush, or a flower, we'll go back. The street trees and the governor strip, I mean, 125 feet of concrete being exposed on Atlantic Avenue, I think financially is a bit of a imposition on the applicant who's asking for this type of relief. If the board would think that some additional landscaping on site would be appropriate, of course, there already is a beautiful landscape plan, and that can be enhanced to account for those two points that Roger has brought out. And I can tell you that with respect to the fence encroachment, the neighbor and Dr. Burstein are both aware of it. They have discussed it, and there's no issue with it at this point. They have an agreement that should there become an issue, it will be removed or will be adjusted. But right now, there is permission to have it in the location where it is, and Dr. Burstein can attest to that should the board require it. That's all I have. I know you have some other matters on the agenda tonight. Mr. Colchins and Dr. Burstein are both available to answer questions.
Board members, any questions? Roger, go ahead.
I do. I just, is this the, in looking at the rest of the block in the area, this is the only, one of the only houses that does not have a curb cut. Would the applicant be agreeable to have a governor strip replaced with grass on the Atlantic Avenue side of the house? Is that something I can suggest?
think trees on Atlantic Avenue as well would be a good addition there.
If you look at Atlantic Avenue, it's the one house in the blocks that does not have a governor strip or trees on Atlantic Avenue. And I think that would increase the coverage of that.
Dr. Burstein can answer that, but I think he'd be more amenable to street trees on Atlantic Avenue. I mean, running 120, it's a 125-foot deep lot, running 125 feet of, not only do you need to put the sod in, you need irrigation. And for what we're asking for tonight, I think financially that probably factors right up in there with what's being done. But I think street trees are something that we can discuss for sure.
I mean, if you've ever seen a house or driven by it, the landscaping is really magnificent as it is. But if you want me to enhance it further, I would certainly be amenable to that. I would prefer not to put a strip in. I can't imagine what it would cost with the irrigation, tearing out the concrete. I wasn't even honestly aware that other houses had it and I didn't. It just didn't, I guess when you don't pay attention to something like that.
Unless I'm wrong.
Sorry?
Typically, when we ask applicants to do governor strips, I don't believe irrigation is part of that.
It should be, though.
Point of putting grass in, if
it's
you don't
necessary.
Have it, it's necessary.
It's going to look like it's going to turn to, you know, dirt.
But, I mean, a quick look on Google Maps, and every house in a three blocks up and down Atlantic Avenue has a governor strip with grass, except this property.
But I purchased this house the way it was. I wasn't even aware that a governor strip was required. Had I been aware of that, I could have maybe negotiated it into the price of the house, because it's certainly going to drive the price significantly higher. I mean, we're going to do a great job to enhance the decks. It's going to look beautiful. The house is a very beautiful, you know, pretty house as it is. And I'm only looking to enhance the property, but I think that adding a governor strip is just unnecessary and a waste of resources.
Well, we're looking at the visual effects of the community in itself and in here and how our streetscapes look. And this goes to the betterment of the community itself and dealing with each property. This is not an insurmountable large task. It's saw cut. It's put in. It's not as complicated as you might think to do.
It's complicated. I'm just guessing it's going to be expensive.
Go ahead. I was going to say, I'm considering this as part of the landscaping package. And when we put that ordinance in for landscaping, so it wouldn't be a burden to the homeowners financially, we allowed that to take place over a 2-year period. So if it is a financial burden, my understanding of the ordinance is that it doesn't have to be done immediately, but it does have to be done.
Well, my question would be, I bought the house not knowing it was a requirement, and why was this house allowed to have no governor strip there in the first place?
Because, doctor, that was done. It was removed before the new landscaping ordinance was implemented. I can tell you that.
Okay.
What's triggered it, Dr. Bernstein, is the fact that you're requesting a variance. What triggers that requirement is coming into the board and requesting relief. Right. If you're building, adding an addition to your home, you don't need any relief, then you don't come before the board and you don't need any relief.
Right.
I'll go from personal experience. Before I was elected, I had to put a deck on my house and I needed relief. I put in 2 street trees. You know, I had to do that.
Happy, like I said, to enhance the landscape package and put in, where would street trees go if there's
they would go in that same area, that same governor strip. One of the other reasons it's kind of being overlooked, the reason for adding grass in that area is not just for aesthetics, it's also for stormwater management. It allows, you know, one of the variances you're asking for is impervious coverage, and to create allows water to go into that area and into the ground instead of onto the street.
If you look at the overhead of the properties on my street, I have more grass than anybody else on my
street. I've been by there, and I agree. And I love the landscaping you have. It looks beautiful.
Thank you. Yeah, I love the house, and I just
really, really well maintained. I love the Colorado or blue spruces there in the front.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't take them out; they were getting sickly, and I had the landscaper do what he could to repair them, and he has. He cut them back a little bit, and they look great.
Doctor, the board is consistently clawing back less concrete in the city and greening the city up over all of our processes as we can. We add a little bit. We like to take a little bit away. And this has been what we've been trying to do over just small percentages of the time. And I think it pays dividends, and I think you'll agree after you see it, it will pay dividends.
Would the board consider the governor's strip without the additional street trees in light of the landscape package that's already on site?
I think the street trees belong in the governor's strip, and it's a package. And the trees aren't going to make or break the whole thing.
Okay.
In there. We're not putting 6-inch caliper trees in there or anything else. They're putting smaller caliper trees that would go in.
Dr. Burstein, it sounds to me as if the board is going to make that a requirement of any approval. It's going to be in the resolution. So
what are we talking about here? My deck's in the front. I don't need variance for.
That's not accurate.
So the third floor deck needs a variance.
Third floor deck needs a variance, and you need the coverage variance for all of them. So all of the work requires coverage variance.
I thought that the deck on the third floor needed a variance.
The third floor is the only one that needs a setback variance, but at the 10-foot setback that we're proposing for the the Dudley Avenue decks, those decks by themselves are exceeding the building coverage.
Mr. Colchin?
Yes.
Are you increasing the amount of pavers in the front yard?
We're extending the front porch, so that would be extending into the landscaped area.
Right, and so you got to lose a little landscaping in that area.
Within the lot coverage restriction.
I understand that. So the idea is what we're trying to keep is neutral as best we can. And that's the concept.
I don't know if it makes a difference, but when I put the pool in the backyard, I had, a fully grassed yard. And instead of, like my other neighbors did, taking all the grass out and putting all pavers in there, I maintained about 30% of that yard as grass. So it's not like I'm looking to get rid of grass. I enjoy grass, but, there's a cost for everything. And I just...
I understand, doctor.
I have no idea what it's going to cost, but it's going to be a bloody fortune, I'm going to imagine. And I'm not required to put an irrigation system in. So what's the point of putting grass there if there's no water on it?
Well, if we would make it a requirement, you put irrigation in. Because it's not going to live if you don't, and the trees won't live if you don't. Let's just get real. That's what's going to happen. What would occur? And that's the realistically what it should be. It should be there, and that is the case. I have another question.
Yes.
If we go on, Mr. Colchin.
Yes.
In your drawings, you show no dimension of the setback of the building next to us, next to you. And you're alluding to and saying that this deck will not exceed that. Am I correct in that?
I've seen plans to another house in the block. I don't think it was the one directly next to it that had a 10-foot setback to the deck, so I was basing it. And I think I did an aerial view, and it looks like there's other decks on the block that are at the 10 foot setback.
Right. Well, typically, we would see something of it. You would measure and see, and keep things in line. So, is it possible? Would could we agree, Mr. Bailenson, is that this deck doesn't protrude past the adjoining deck?
The third floor, Mr. Cook?
No, all the decks. You know, it's that line doesn't go past, and it's 10 feet. It's no greater than 10 feet, but doesn't protrude past. So that there's an alignment. Yeah,
but there's, I understand what you're saying. And I would agree with that if there was a house to our left as you look out the door, but there isn't. There's Atlantic Avenue. So if it's a few inches difference, it doesn't really make it. Shouldn't make a difference. I mean, if those decks are a little bit further out than the neighbor to the on the ocean side, there's no impact to anybody next to us.
I know, but usually there's a dimension somewhere in there of the adjoining property. So we could say that this is the limit or whatever the case may be. I
mean, it is consistent with the allowed encroachment. So, you know, other than the third floor deck, we're not exceeding.
Right. I'm just trying to figure out, Roger, yes. is there some way, you know, just from a standpoint of control in the neighborhood with the neighbors, everybody, we just try to be consistent.
Mr. Cook, we can hold them at 10, which is the permitted setback at the lower levels.
Roger, what's the best way to handle this?
In my opinion, their expansion will not be greater than the house next door.
Okay. I'm looking
at it, there's no way it's going to be greater.
Okay,
than
fine.
That.
So that's yeah, since there was no dimensions, I had to ask the question.
Fair enough.
So at that point, we would be, yeah, Roger, you're okay with it?
I'm fine with it, yes.
Okay, fine. Then I'm okay with it.
Mr. Cook, we have nothing further. You have our position with respect to the governor's trip, and the board's going to include them as a condition.
All right.
Dr. Burstein will have the option to decide what to do.
In the plan, there's one further item in here that comes up. If you see in the survey, in the as-built, at the front, the house is either slightly askew or something, that the there's a 4.91 side yard near the front of the house. The back is 5 feet. Do we have to administratively, so this is clear, is there a variance needed for that less than a half inch?
No, that they're complying with the 5 foot setback.
Okay, because it says 4.91. That's why I was asking the question.
That's existing.
Okay, that's all I needed to know. So we're fine with that. Okay.
Yeah.
So we have nothing further to do there. Is there anything else we have administratively have to do? It should be indicated that the pool equipment is inside the garage. There should be some note on the plan that the pool equipment's in the garage.
Very good.
Anything else, Roger?
No, I think we're good.
Okay. Now, what was resolved on this on the street trees and the strip?
I think if the board is insistent that they be included, and it sounds like the board is, the resolution include them, and then Dr. Burstein will have the option either to do the project or not.
Fine. Okay.
I don't have a better answer. We can go back and forth all night. I just don't have a better answer than that.
That's the best answer we have. Okay. Board members, are you in agreement with that?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Mr. Bailenson, are you complete with your presentation?
Yes, sir.
Okay. We're going to open up to the public. Is there anyone in the public who wishes to make comment on this application?
Does anybody from the public wishes to speak, either make notice in the chat room or by raising your hands in Zoom and you'll be recognized? Mr. Sill?
Yes. This is Bill Sill. I live at 103 South Suffolk in Ventnor City.
Mr. Sill, be sworn, please.
Mr. Sill, please raise your right hand. You swear affirm that the testimony you're about to give will be the truth?
I do.
Thank you. Go ahead.
I live at 103 South Suffolk Avenue in Ventnor City, and I'm here in my capacity as president of the St. Leonard's Association. The association represents the majority of the residents in the St. Leonard's Tract. The application for 106 South Dudley would permit the applicant to enlarge existing decks. The association is pleased to support the application as the improvements will further enhance the functionality of the house and is in keeping with the homes of the street without compromising St. Leonard Track's setback restrictions. We urge the board to approve this application.
Thank you, Mr. Sill.
Thank you, Mr. Sill. Is there anyone else?
Anybody else from the public wish to speak? Please notice.
Mr. Cook, can I take 2 minutes to make a phone call to Dr. Burstein just to see if we can't get a resolution of that governor's strip?
Please do. Please do. Okay.
Give me a couple minutes. Thanks.
Okay. Okay. Jim, are we complete with the public?
Yes.
Okay. The public portion of this application is now closed. Since the counsel for the applicant is not present, I think we have to take a brief stand down here and wait for so nothing is said out of turn that he doesn't hear.
Yeah, mute yourself, I guess, if you can, until we see Chris reappear.
Okay. Do we need the plans still up on the screen, or should I take them down?
I don't need them.
Still need them.
Let's leave them up until okay. Mr. Bailenson comes back in case anything has to be shown.
Okay.
I'd be curious to wonder what Mr. Sill thought about the governor's strip and the trees on Atlantic Avenue. If he's still there.
Well, Mike, we're not going to hear any testimony until Mr. Bailenson's back.
Okay. Thank you. Make a suggestion when interruptions like this happen that we have music injected.
Why don't you just sing?
We're going to cancel the rest of the meeting then.
Is that better, Mike?
Thank you, Lance. No wonder you were voted so in so favorably.
Little Chicago.
Oh, that's a good one.
Very nice.
Wow.
You don't have any deep purple, do you?
What do we got here? We got Bob Seger on the tap. Ah, here we go.
Okay.
What we would like is the board to act on the variances as submitted and include as a condition as it was going to the governor's strip and the trees. That will give Dr. Burstein some time to get a price on those items going forward. And if it turns out to be cost prohibitive, it's cost prohibitive. Hopefully it won't be, and you'll see a beautiful governor's strip with street trees in it.
Okay.
We're just caught in short pants without having a price for it. That's all. That's the consideration, and that's
valid. Okay, we're going to proceed ahead. Said,
Chris, this is, or I think Lorraine mentioned it. You got 2 years to put them in.
All those things we talked about, and that's why I'm back saying that we'd like to go forward.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very. Thank you very much.
Okay. The public portion of this application has been closed, Chris.
Okay.
So
I don't have anything further. I took my time on a phone call rather than do anything further. My proofs are in.
Okay. Do any board members have any further questions, comments? If not, we'll go to a vote. Hearing none. Right. Okay, Leo, could you frame a resolution in the affirmative?
Yes.
We're going to put this to a vote.
All right, it's a C variance application. There's two C variances, so someone needs to make a motion to grant C variance relief for the following: a front yard setback to the third floor deck of 10 feet, where 15 feet is required, or within the building envelope is required, and a building coverage variance of 40.64%, where 35% is the permitted maximum. The conditions will be that the applicant will replace any landscaping that's removed during construction. They'll add the governor strip along Atlantic Avenue with two street trees. And they'll put a note on the plan that the pool equipment is inside the garage. And then any other representations made or conditions set forth in Mr. McLarnon's report, unless otherwise addressed. I think we said that the fence is okay. There's an understanding with the neighbors, so that will not be a condition.
Thank you.
Okay. At this time, we'll go to a roll call vote. Please state your reasons. And
we have to make a motion.
Sorry. We'll make a motion in the affirmative. A motion and a second, please.
Second.
I'm sorry. Who made the first?
Roman.
Roman.
Okay.
Okay.
Commissioner Landgraf?
I vote in favor of the application. I agree that creating more outdoor space in any location in the island, on the island, but also specifically on the beach block or anywhere where you can get a view of the water. That's why we live here. That's why we have second homes here. That's one of the reasons why we want to stay here. I don't think this is an egregious variance at all. I do appreciate, or hope to appreciate, that the fact that the applicant is willing to work with us on adding some green space on the property, even though it is beautifully landscaped. I personally would have just gone for the governor strip, but happy that the rest of the board was looking for the trees as well. I do not think it's a negative impact on the neighborhood, the limited variance that's being requested, and I vote yes.
Commissioner Kriebel.
I also support the application. I think the architect and the homeowner have done a nice job of actually improving the curb appeal of an already beautiful home, adding stone. And I echo Commissioner Landgraf's comments. Living at the shore in the proximity of the beach, it would, I think any of us would agree, having a deck with a sliver of a view of the ocean would be something that would be a priority to us. And I appreciate the effort of adding a consistency to Atlantic Avenue with continued governor strips in green. So I vote yes.
Jay Cook.
I'm going to vote in favor of the application. I think, first of all, it's an enhancement to the actual property itself. It makes that property just a more livable property and goes to our seashore lifestyle as well. Secondly, if you put the positive and negative criteria to it, I think it meets most of the positive criteria with very little or no negative criteria being involved. The areas where there are some increase on the building coverage, it's already over impermeable surface, non-permeable surface, so it really has no impact on it. And the addition of the governor strip and trees adds an investment into the community itself. And it's shared by one and all, but it's shared by this property. And I think in the long haul, it advances both this property and advances the motives of the city. And I have to thank Dr. Bernstein for considering this and working with us. Most certainly, I sincerely thank him. I know it's a surprise, but I think the dividends will be great. Thank you.
Roman Zabi Hutch.
I also vote yes. The improvements will enhance the St. Leonard's Tracks appeal, look. And I think what we discussed about the streetscape is very important. That's one of the things that we advocated in our master plan update, was to make the city more positive, attractive. So having that governor strip in the trees is a very key. The variants themselves, I think, are very small. They do not are not detrimental to the public good, nor do they impair the intent of the ordinance. They are very minimal. So a big resounding yes.
Lorraine Salata.
I'll vote in favor of this application. I think it's a very good upgrade to the front of the property, and understandable why the applicant would want more outdoor living space. And I think the addition to grass and trees along Atlantic Avenue will greatly enhance the overall appearance as well. So I wish them luck, and I do vote yes.
Dan Smith III.
Dan?
You're on mute.
What was that?
Somebody's phone.
Dan, let's skip over Dan, and we'll get back. Did somebody try and get him, call him and tell him to get off mute?
I'm calling him now.
Right. All right, who's next, Carmella?
Wendy. Mike Wiesen. Oh, there he is. Yeah. There's Dan.
Can you hear me?
We can hear you now.
We heard nothing that you said. Start over.
I know. I didn't say anything, Jay.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I just want to know if you can hear me.
We can hear you now.
Okay. My apologies. You know, all the comments that have been made, you know, St. Leonard's Track gave it the endorsement, 125 feet on Atlantic Avenue, now gets some greenery. The variances are minimal. It's already coverage considered, and the decks, I think, are the way they clean up the property, it make it really tight. I don't see any negative criteria, and like everybody else said, it'll be a showpiece, even though it is now a better.
Okay.
Mike Wiesen.
I agree with all the comments the board members had said. And a few years ago when I was doing my house, I was considering a governor strip or no governor strip. And yeah, it cost a little bit of money, but after a few months of looking at it, it really enhances what the property looks like instead of just a long piece of concrete out to the curb. And I hope they find it in their ways to put that in as soon as possible. And I vote in favor.
We're complete.
Thank you all very much.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Bailenson.
Yep. Have a good day.
Thanks. Dr. Bernstein as well.
You got it. Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay. Next application is that of Troy Avenue Owners, 114 South Troy Avenue.
I'm going to recuse myself from this application. I'm waiting on my
car. Okay. Let the record reflect that Commissioner Kriebel has recused himself, and he is not participating or making comments.
Good evening. Brian Callahan of the law firm Callahan Thompson & Thompson. Can everyone hear me?
Yes.
Yes, we can, Brian.
Application for Troy Avenue Owners, 114 South Troy. Record reflect all jurisdictional requirements of amendment.
We got a phone ringing somewhere here.
Lorraine, I'm putting in a governor's strip. Come on.
All right.
Okay.
This is an application to construct a new single-family home at 114 South Troy. Mr. Cook, I have Mr. Massione, who's the architect, and I have Mr. Goldstein with me here tonight. So why don't we swear both of those gentlemen in? So if the board has questions as we go forward, we can answer them.
Please do.
All right, Mr. Goldstein and Mr. Massione, if you can each state your name and business or home address for the record. I'll just swear you in together.
My name is Daniel Scott Massione, and my office is at 1409 New Road, Northfield, New Jersey.
And you're a licensed architect?
I am. In,
New Jersey?
In New Jersey.
Okay, thank you.
I'm Jeffrey Goldstein. I live at 112 South Troy Avenue in Benton, New Jersey. I am the applicant.
Okay, and can you each raise your right hand, please? Do each swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth?
Yes.
I do.
Thank you.
And let the record reflect that Mr. Massione's is accepted as a credentials are accepted.
Yes, there.
Thank you.
Mr. Crook, I'd like to have Mr. Gold.
Well, let's go with Roger. Well, we're going to grow Roger first and have him do a preamble, please.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, board members. My report, there was a minor revision today, just an update on existing conditions. So the report is based on the application of Troy Avenue Owners, LLC, 114 South Troy Avenue, Block 31, Lot 13, Ventnor, New Jersey. Engineering and planning report for C variances. It's within the R3 single family district. It's in the flood zone AE10. It's a substantial benefit variance. Materials reviewed on the bottom of page 1 and the top of page 2 of my report. The project description is as follows. The applicant is proposing to construct a new single family dwelling within the R3 zoning district that will comply with nearly all zoning requirements and all FEMA requirements. The location of the project is beachfront on the Margate side of Troy Avenue. The existing dwelling will be demolished. The existing site is nearly, if not nearly, impervious, and the proposed dwelling will fully comply with and exceed pervious requirements, which is a direct benefit to Ventnor. As a footnote, the existing structure has been demolished and the proposed structure is actually under construction. Continuing on page 2 is the zoning chart. Shows all the setbacks, bulk standards, etc. Turning to page 3 continues the zoning chart, and this application is deemed complete. And there are four variances identified, and they are as follows. One is a rear yard setback to the third floor deck, whereas 10 feet is required minimum rear yard setback to the third floor deck, and 7.1 feet is proposed. Again, this is based on definitions of third floor decks. It's not inset within the building envelope. It extends beyond the face of the building. Minimum roof pitch, whereas 5-on-12 is a minimum roof pitch for non-flat roofs, and some of the pitch roofs are slightly less at 4.5-on-12 is proposed. Again, it's a minor deviation from the standards, but it is a variance. And it's just a couple roofs that I'm sure Dan will discuss that. Landscaping total shrubs, whereas 60 shrubs are required and 36 are proposed. So they are deviating from the required landscape shrub count, not the landscape coverage. Curb cut, whereas 2 driveway curb cuts with conditions are permitted, the conditions are not being met, where 1 18-foot wide maximum curb cut and a 20-foot wide curb cut is proposed. Waivers, no waivers have been requested. However, street tree waivers should be requested, and typically they have been granted on beach blocks. The side yard setback on the beach side or bulkhead side is 12 feet for both principal and accessory structures. Again, that comment, you can skip that comment. Comment number 2, the rear yard requires a setback at 10 feet for principal uses and 6 foot for first floor decks. Roof pitch minimum, whereas the roof pitch required is 5-on-12, they're asking for 4.5-on-12 for a small portion of the roofs. All the other roofs comply. Building coverage should be confirmed to be less than required, and if it includes decks, they're counted as roofs if impervious. Again, that's just a confirmation is requested on that. A landscape plan is part of this application. On the resubmission, they have submitted revised plans. I believe it is in your package. It shows the landscape plan. The third floor deck on a balcony again requires a variance because it extends beyond the roof or the building face. The applicant shall confirm with the city's fire department in regard to a street end fire zone requirement, as it may affect on-street parking. Um, That's pretty much it.
Okay. Yeah, are you complete, Roger?
Yes, I am.
All right. Mr. Callahan, before we get into starting, there was a confirmation, Roger, confirmation on some bulk areas that you needed. Let's just get that out of the way.
Does the building coverage include those decks?
Yes.
Okay, fine.
They do. Okay. All decks, including the one in the rear, are considered impervious, even though, yes, they're all impervious. Counted.
Your questions are answered, Roger?
They count as building coverage, right?
Yes, okay. As well. All right.
Mm-hmm. All right. Brian?
And I wanted to have Mr. Goldstein address the issue because, as Roger said, we're in the middle of construction. So I know the board members are always concerned as to whether something illegal has been done. I can indicate to you it has not been done. So I'll let Mr. Goldstein, who's been sworn, give you a little update of how this came about. Jeffrey?
Okay. Everybody can see me. Jeff Goldstein, I've been a resident of Ventnor for 30 years. As you know, I lived at Vassar Square for 18 years prior to buying my house at 112 South Troy, which is next door to my new proposed house that we're building. You should know that I received planning approval as well as a demo approval in the spring of this year. When we filed for our building permits, it was noted that there was some variance that had to be required for the third floor of the home. The building inspector gave us permission to begin construction of the home, the first and second floors, and deal with the third floor with this variance hearing prior to getting to the third floor. As of today, we are currently at the foundation level, and we expect to be on the third floor sometime closer to Thanksgiving at this point. So I want everybody to know that at least we have a building permit to construct what we're building at this point.
Let me move on to Mr. Massione then. Dan, you've given the qualifications. Why don't you give us a little idea of what was existing on the site and what we're proposing on the site, and then we'll walk through the variance relief.
Okay, I'm going to try to share my screen here. That might help. I think you may have to enable it. If you want me to put the drawings up, I don't know if that's possible.
Jim, does he need any assistance?
Let's see.
You should be able to share it now.
Okay, let me work on this. Basic. No, I'm working on it here. Advanced. Files. Nope, sorry, I'm working on this to have, apologize. Let me see if I could, I thought I'd be able to share the screen right here from my,
Jim, anyway, you can jump in.
Let me just, and I'll start, and let me discuss, oops, hold it. I had it, my fault, sorry. I apologize. I also do some online teaching, so every program's a little bit different. So let me just see here when I pulled that. No, it didn't. No. Don't share. Let's see if this works here. Okay, I apologize because of my security preferences. I'd have to restart Zoom. So let me go this, and then maybe I'll restart, come back in with the screen. I'll go through. I know you have plans in front of you. I just go over what was existing there. The existing house was quite a bit wider than what we're planning. I believe that what we tended to design would meet your ordinance. It was brought to our attention that there were some slight minor deviations when we submitted for permit, and we've been in discussion with Jimmy during this process. So we originally sent the plans and received the zoning permit. So we were thinking that we were in compliance, but some of the things we'll point out, I hope you agree with me, that they are minor in nature. The relief that we're seeking is primarily a result of the unique lot configuration and the conformance with both CAFRA and the city of Ventnor. Ordinance. The existing lot is 125 feet wide by 62 and a half feet deep. The lot extends more than 15 feet beyond the seawall. So the property, there's quite a bit of property beyond the seawall that's not accessible to us really. The design was created to conform to all the regulations. The lot area is 7,812 square feet, where only 3,000 square feet is required. 1,375 square feet of the lot is beyond the seawall or beyond the seawall. So all our coverage is compliant. The we're at 45.6% for building, where 50 is required. The lot coverage is 54.2%, where 75% is required. So I just want, I'll touch on the four variances real quickly, and then I could restart. I'll hand it back to the attorney and the owner, and maybe I can get the screen share up. But the first variance required is the rear yard setback. That has to deal with, if you refer to my drawing, Z2, number three on my drawing, it's a small balcony that we placed on the third floor in the gable roof that sticks beyond the face of the building. The reason for that is to, well, a couple things, but really it's an architectural feature to break up the flatness of that wall. I don't think it really, it's very de minimis in nature. And I think it adds a lot of aesthetics to the building and some shadow lines. The minimum roof pitch, number two, and referring to my building elevations on Z2, you could see that the house and the renderings, of course, at the top appear all to have steep roof pitches, but the in-between roofs and the infill roofs, some of those did fall slightly below from, 3.5 to 4.5 roof pitch. By definition, which was, I appreciate you putting it, the slope of the roof is, well, I'll just, the minimum roof pitch is required to be 512. Dormers shall be, may be allowed to be a lesser roof if they're shed. We were considering originally that these were a type of shed dormer, but by definition, they may not quite meet because of the distances and things, but they appear more like shed dormers than the main roof, because you can see on the gable ends, everything's a fairly steep pitch. So I think in the aesthetics of the building, this building appears to have, steeper roofs. While there are some portions of the roof that are less, we were thinking those as dormers, but, under the true definition, I understand why Jimmy may consider it otherwise. Just noted that flat roofs are permitted. So we would be allowed to make those in flat roofs. I think that'd be not aesthetically pleasing in this situation and with this style home. So I think we struck a nice, way of handling this by creating those, not using a flat roof. Hopefully you can judge by your, from the drawings themselves. The third variance is landscaping, which we did submit a plan. 60 shrubs are required. We show 36. I think this was generated when we came to the board and we prepared this. One of the things where I was having a little bit of difficulty with the 60 shrubs, we realized is 18%, 17.6% of the lot is beyond the seawall or the seawall and beyond. So we're having a lot of trouble getting 60 bushes on the site to look right. So what I would propose, modifying what we've submitted and submitting another plan. I think what we submitted at only 36 is not enough. I think what, I would propose, and you can consider hopefully, is that we would do 18% less, approximately 10 less trees or shrubs than the 60, because 18% of the lot is on the beach. And I think we would be able to landscape it beautifully with, I guess that would be about, actually it's 11 less, 49 bushes. I think that we could do, we can meet that order. And I think that's more in keeping with what is intended.
And with respect to that, we're asking for a waiver of street trees, but we are putting in the governor's strip, correct?
Yes, that's true. I think street trees, and hopefully we can all agree that they're probably not the best place on the beach, especially in the first property on the beach, for various reasons, just the survivability of the tree, the view corridors, everything that you may have. So we are asking for that waiver on this property, which we don't usually do, but this is a unique situation.
And we are asking that technically to amend the application from 60 back down to 49.
Yes, that's correct.
And once again, as you indicated on that, we've got technically 17 feet on the other side of the seawall. that's unusable. And we also have it, we're asking for an 18 or 20 foot curb cut where you have your driveway in. So when you look at the, when you look at technically the lot being 125 feet for calculation of landscaping, when you take 17 feet out, you take 20 feet out for driveway, you, your analysis of having 49 or 50 shrubs in there is going to be a heavily landscaped area with the governor strip in there.
Yes. Yeah. I really believe that that would, you know, it meets the intents of the ordinance to have it well landscaped. I think what we proposed and we showed at 36 is a little under landscaped. Yeah. So I think we should bring it up, but I think 49 would be the right number. Cause I don't think when we tried to put 60 shrubs on this, it just didn't look correct. I mean, there was, you know, it was not,
And Mr. Goldstein's house next door is a very nicely landscaped property already.
Yes, that is correct. So that's reconsideration. And the fourth one is the curb cut, 20 feet versus 18. We're in discussion with Jimmy, and we're understanding the 20 what was allowed when we proposed the plans. I would ask that you consider the 20-foot wide. I don't think it affects the parking on the street, which I think is the main concern for the curb cut. It'll just, because we have two garages next to each other, rather than 2 9-foot driveways to individual, I think that just being able to navigate that will be a little bit easier. I know it's a small amount of space, but 20 feet seemed, from my experience in design and the houses we designed, in this situation, when you have cars parked on the on the street, bless you, to pull in and navigate around the existing cars on the street that are parked there, that 2 feet it would be helpful. I don't think it affects, because of where the driveway is placed, really it doesn't have any negative effect on the project. So that, if you would consider that, that would be appreciated. Of course, the street tree waiver. And I truly apologize. Unfortunately, security today, when I try to share my screen, it's asking me to restart Zoom. So if you'd like me to do that, I'll take maybe, you know.
Let me just ask a couple more questions.
Shoot.
The new house that was built across the street also has a 20-foot wide driveway?
That's correct.
And let's talk a little bit about positive and negative criteria.
Absolutely.
Positive criteria. Why do you think that this house with these variances will still meet the positive criteria?
Well, there's several issues, and I know, you know, we're in the process. It's not usual to come to the board once the building started. But the existing building, as was said, was, you know, almost completely impervious. We're upgrading that completely. We were trying to be sensitive with view corridors and the corridors and the way the building is angled, so that we're not, you know, diminishing those view corridors. From a you know, the purpose of the act, the fire safety, we are pulling this building back from the side property lines. Quite a bit. I believe it was six feet, the previous setback to the rear property line. So we're moving that back. That's better for fire safety. Flood, of course, we're going to be, we comply to all the new modern standards for flood. So that is positive. Adequate light, air, and open space. As I said, we're trying to be sensitive with view corridors and the way we angled the building and the configuration. I think that this is a much superior building than what was there, of course, and more modern. And to promote the desirable environment through creative development and design is, you know, the aesthetics of this building. I think, I would hope, of course, in my opinion, because I'm the architect, it is a beautiful building that will complement the boardwalk and the street end, you know, and be a benefit in a you know, for the city of Ventnor.
Dan wants to email me the plans. I can share them.
That would be fine. Yes. What
I sent you a message. I sent you a private message in the chat with my email address.
Okay. Sorry about. Thank you so much. Let's see. Give me 22 seconds here. Thank you so much for that. I apologize. I usually don't have problems with Zoom, but I should have started it up beforehand and fixed the security.
I'm glad, Mr. Cook, that I heard you in the beginning saying we're going back to hybrid meetings.
Yeah, it's going to be. You should try. I teach at ACC. I teach the building code courses for the building inspectors, and trying to teach plan review online, I could only tell you, is a challenge, especially when some of your students are on phones. It's not the the best. Let's see, without cutting you guys all off.
Dan and Brian, this is Roger. It just got a couple comments real quick.
Thank you so much.
To add on to what you were added saying. You actually do get a credit for having a grass governorship of three shrubs. So your deficit isn't that great.
Okay.
Yeah.
I agree with you on the, you do have a hardship in that you can't do anything in that area over the seawall.
Yeah.
And the other item is, the reason I bring up the fire zone is the 20-foot wide curb cut really has no impact if it's in a fire zone because you can't park there anyway.
That's true.
And the other issue is, I failed to mention it when I did my report, was that little sidewalk that you have going to the street, that could be an ADA compliant ramp. We've been doing that on all the street ends on the beach.
If I could, I'd like to work with you on the placement of that too, so it's an appropriate place because of the slope of that street. I'm not sure the exact spot, but we could do that.
And we were,
excuse me, Dan. Yes. When I made you the host, you disabled screen sharing. So I'm not, even as another host, I'm not able to share a screen. I'm not sure what you did.
Okay. Well,
let me just go back to the negative criteria to finish the, Dan, going back to negative criteria, there's two technical prongs to it. First prong is there substantial detriment to the public good? And is there a substantial detriment to the character of the neighborhood by the granting of these variances?
No. In fact, I think the opposite. I mean, it always our intention to design within the ordinance. And sometimes when you're doing a complex project and, you know, all the calculated, everything comes out. Some of the definitions that we may have misinterpreted, whether it was a dormer or a roof happened. But I think the intent of many of these things that we're asking for relief from are still met by the design. It's just the technical, you know, what's written in your orders, which I respect. I just, sometimes we don't, I think we can get to the same place with the design, but we would just need a little bit of relief on this to meet the actual letter of the ordinance.
And the second prong is, do you think that there's any substantial detriment to the zone plan or zoning pairment of this, by this design and the granting of these variances?
No, I think this greatly improves what, you know, from the existing to the new, and I think this will be an excellent asset for the city of Ventnor. I'm excited.
Mr. Cook, I don't have any other questions. Mr. Massione, I would open up to the board.
Board members?
I usually comment about the driveway, the curb cut. It makes perfect sense here. This is in the fire zone, and it does not affect parking. So I think that this variance, at least, is not something that's significant at all.
Well, as far as the curb cut goes, I put my vehicle in there, which is a full-size truck, and it's a narrow street, and I feel that the extra width in there is a help because the cars park too close to the driveway. There's a problem in navigating in. So I've done it before in different applications, and it's a telltale. It works very well. I had one suggestion or one point of discussion that I'd like to bring up on the landscaping. You're doing a shrub count and try to give a design based on a shrub count. Oftentimes we have our engineer planner work with the applicant to come up with a good landscape design. Rather than say we got to have X amount of shrubs, we would have to have a good landscape design. This is a wonderful property. It's a 7,300 square foot lot. There are very few in South Jersey that are that big. And I don't know how the board members feel, but I think there's some opportunity here in doing a great landscaping package and with some design, bringing some designers in.
I believe that's the intent. We just didn't have, unfortunately, with everything going on, we didn't have the time to put that all together, and we were trying to show compliance with the ordinance. I think, and I'll fully admit that our design, while we were trying to meet the ordinance, reviewing it, I think we could absolutely add additional bushes to it. So I think we can enhance that, and I think if we have the time to do that and I understand what you're saying about the 49 to 60. I'm just was right. concerned when we did 60, there was not any space on the lot. You know, we ended up, you know, it kind of looked, and I apologize, I don't have that drawing here.
It has to do with species, size, coverage, right. where it goes, the whole thing.
I think we could do a beautiful landscaping, and we may get to 60, but I would ask that because so much is beyond the seawall here, my concern was maybe we can ask for some slight relief on that because with just 18% of the property is not in our control.
I'd like Roger to address it for a minute, please. Roger, what's your feeling on this?
I think the plan that he submitted is actually pretty good for the landscape plan. Actually, I like it. There is room for some enhancement with the number of shrubs, and they can put some ornamental grasses and some daylilies in there, or whatever they choose. I think the plan that they submitted with enhancement will be pretty good.
Mr. Cook, we can jump in and say that we will agree to come up with a good landscape design plan between Mr. Massione and Mr. McLaren, that's acceptable.
And it should contain, Roger, should it contain, we specify a number of a minimum that it should contain?
Yes, they already do. And they're just going to enhance the count and maybe add a couple of species in there.
Okay, so we'll stay with 60, and then you'll come with the plan and you'll go with that.
49, I think. I think they should stay with the 49. I get credit for 52.
Okay, the plan is up.
Okay, thank you. I don't know. You could see it's gone.
Okay.
I lost it.
I'm doing the cleaner plan that you sent me.
Oh, okay. Excellent. Right. Thank you.
And I had one further question.
It's a little better.
It actually pertains to the third floor deck. It appears that the deck is partially inset into the building, and it's about 3x9 that sticks out of the building. Am I correct in that?
Yes, it is. So on our drawing, there it is, 3Z2, the bottom corner. I don't think you could see my arrow. I wish I could. Yeah. It's over to the left a little bit, but there's that. Yes, in this area, that balcony sits out. It's going to give a shadow line. Otherwise, that whole side of the building is fairly flat. So we thought that enhanced that gable rather than just being a flat wall all the way up. I thought it was an opportunity to accentuate that gable. Where it's set back, it doesn't affect anyone's view corridors So I think it's a small, it's more of an architectural feature like a window or.
Does it affect the privacy of the adjoining house?
I don't believe so. I think we're set back further from his decks. I don't believe so.
All right. Thank you. All right. Board members, any further questions? If not, we'll go to the public. Ready? Let's go to the public.
Jim? The public who wishes to speak. Please make notice either in the chat section or by raising hands, and you'll be recognized. I'm not seeing anyone.
No takers. Try one more time, and then if there's no takers, then we'll close.
Okay. Anybody from the public, please make notice in the chat or by raising hands, and you'll be recognized. Nope.
Jim, you have no response?
Nope.
No response. Okay, the public portion of this application is now closed. Is everyone-
Jim, Roger, I have a real quick question.
Okay.
Or comment. The other third floor deck facing the ocean, that is within the building permitted building setback line. However, it is not in the building setback.
Yes, that's correct. That's one of the issues we were just discussing, is that that was one of the discussions we had with Jimmy as well, whether that meets the definition of the third floor deck, or because it is literally the Ventnor setback is 12 feet. We are 17 feet. We've set the building back 17 feet to our deck. So we're 5 feet beyond the setback for principal buildings. Technically, though, a portion of that third floor deck is over another deck.
Right. And we had a similar situation in on Surrey Avenue about 8 or 9 months ago, similar to this, where the third floor deck was within the building setbacks, but the building was set further back. So the deck, technically, this is a variance. It's not within the building envelope.
Right.
So even though the location of the third floor deck.
Right. We could enclose underneath, but we would prefer not to. We would love to, you know, because we integrated that roof into that third floor deck, it's part of the architectural facade on that oceanfront, you know, boardwalk side. It's all part of that, you know, look of the home. We would like to request that variance as well. I guess that would be the fifth variance for that third floor deck.
I would concur with that, and I would support that. I think it's having that second floor deck as open as it is I think it's pretty stylish.
Thank you.
Board members, you understand what just occurred? Everyone agree? Everyone understand?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. At this point in time, Brian, are you complete with your application?
We are. We've had an opportunity to review Mr. McLaren's comments, and we're agreeable to those.
Okay. Again, board members, any further questions? Because we're prepared to go to a vote. Okay. At this time, Leo, if you could prepare a resolution for a vote.
Yeah, and just real quick for clarification purposes, this is to Roger and Dan. The ramp and the ADA issue, what exactly are we doing there?
In order, the sidewalk would just terminate and dump off with a curb. So if you're an ADA compliant or an ADA person, you'd have to go all the way down to the corner at Atlantic Avenue and wheel down the street. So this way, to get onto the ramp and the boardwalk, we're just going to navigate. We're going to find a good location for that ramp, irregardless of the street slope, to try to find the best spot for that ADA ramp so somebody in a wheelchair can go from the public sidewalk to the public ramp on the boardwalk.
Okay.
Okay.
We will continue the accessible route so that, you know, that correct. Makes sense. Thank you.
All right. Leo?
All right.
Stage is yours.
All right. It's someone needs to make a motion. It's a C variance application for the following C variances. Rear yard setback to the third floor deck of 7.1 feet where 10 feet is required. Minimum roof pitch in certain areas, 512 is required, and there's 4.512 in certain locations. For the shrubs, we're going to say that 60 are required. They're going to provide 49, and as a condition, they'll submit a landscaping plan that's agreeable to the board planner and the board engineer. For the curb cut, they're proposing a 20-foot wide curb cut where 18 is permitted. And then the additional variance that we just noted, there's going to be to the third floor deck. It meets the front yard setback, but it's not contained within the building envelope. So it falls outside the technical definition. So there'll be a variance for that. There's a waiver from the street trees. The conditions will be as noted with respect to the ADA accessible ramp. And then the applicant will comply with any other representations it made during the course of the hearing, and then any other conditions in Mr. McLaren's report, unless otherwise addressed.
May I have a motion and a second, please?
I'm sorry, could I just put one thing on that? One of our roofs is actually 3.5, 12 over the entry, so I just didn't want to, it's just a slight little dormer above the entry, so I didn't want to misrepresent that all the roofs were 412. They range from 3.5, 12 to... You know, so
okay. Point that
out.
So noted,
as shown on the plans.
Right. Presented.
I'll make the motion.
All right. Second?
I'll second it.
Okay, can we take this plan down? And we'll have a roll call vote, please. State your reasons.
Commissioner Landgraf?
I'm in favor of the application. I think it's a great asset to that beachfront property there. I think the landscape package is pretty darn good as it sits right now. I think there are times when you can over landscape and shrub a property and then it just grows over everything. I'd rather see the plants that they're putting in, you know, allowed to be to grow to their fullest extent. I've seen other work that Mr. Goldstein's done on properties he owns here, and I have no issue with him taking full advantage of that beachfront and really making it a showplace in the city. The relief he's asking for is very minor. I think it is definitely an asset, an aesthetic improvement to the property. I see no detriment to the character and no detriment to the zone plan or zoning ordinance. And I vote yes. Thank
you. Jay Cook?
I'm going to vote in favor. I mean, this plan is certainly congruent with our master plan. It's one of the largest lots in the city, not the largest. We have some at 10,000, but it's a great use of the land. And I have to congratulate Mr. Goldstein for a good plan on this. At the same time, he's maintained the air circulation around it, some of the separation of the home from the other properties. Added all kinds of architectural relief and planes to the house, so it's not just a flat plane. It's a very interesting piece of architecture that kind of enhances the image of the city itself. So with that being said, there's the negative criteria aren't there. There's just positive criteria that I see occurring. That we're dealing we're in the fire zone, so the parking is not that much of an issue. It's not an issue. And the access is not his issue. He's got plenty of parking. He's handling what he has, taking his responsibility in that area. So I vote yes.
Roman Zabby Hutch.
I also vote yes. All the variances have been well justified. They are, for the most part, very minimal. I think the property is going to be a great enhancement, not only to the street, to the boardwalk, and to the community. So a very positive yes.
Lorraine Salata.
Lorraine? We'll go.
You're on mute.
She's on mute. Let's go to the next person. We'll get her on mute. You're off mute? Okay.
Yeah, I don't know how that. All right. No, I think it's a great project. The relief they're asking for is certainly justified. It's going to be a great addition to that street. I like the landscaping plan. I don't see any downside to this. I'll definitely vote yes.
Dan Smith III.
I'm also going to vote in favor of the application. I really like the design. It is unique, one of the more unique visual that attracts you at, you know, oceanfront. You know, he's done everything possible to make it a real showpiece. I don't see any negative criteria. It was well thought out, and it's going to be a real asset to our boardwalk.
Mike Wiesen?
I also vote in favor. It's a beautiful house, and it's going along with all the gorgeous houses that are being built on the boardwalk now. With all the concessions, and he's asking for so little, so heartily vote in favor. Yes.
Wendy Bartlett.
Also vote in favor of the application. I think it's a beautiful, interesting, very aesthetically pleasing design. So this really adds to the character of the city, really in line with what I think the character of Bettner is. So a beautiful design. I don't see any negative impact whatsoever. And I vote in favor of the application.
We are complete.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, everyone. Thank
Mr. Goldstein, yes. Mr. Mascione, a great effort. And we thank you for it. And great design, but a great owner and stakeholders in Ventnor and making us look a lot better.
Thank you.
And thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate it. Thank you, everyone. Thank you.
Good seeing you, Dan.
Thank you. Take care, guys. Thank you.
Take care.
Good night, everyone.
Night.
Good night.
Good night. Good night. Good night, Brian.
All right.
Good night.
Brian, thank you.
Thank you, Jay.
Okay. Next application is that of Gordy and Cynthia Combs at 605 North Derby Avenue.
Commissioner Kriebel, you're returning?
Yes, I'm back.
Okay.
Yes. Let the record reflect that Commissioner Kriebel is back and will be a voting member at this on this application. Okay. Who's going? Gordy or Cynthia? May I address you first names or?
Yes, Cynthia Gordy.
Okay. Who's going to do the presentation? And we need you sworn first.
Okay. And the person that did the plan is also on the meeting, Chris Myers, if you can bring him in.
Okay.
All right. Why don't I get Ms. Combs and is Mr. Myers on yet?
Ms. Combs, is Gordy going to be speaking also?
Right here. He's here.
Let's have him. We'll have him sworn as well.
All right.
Why don't I each state your name and address for the record? I'll swear you in together.
Okay. Cynthia Combs, 605 North Derby Avenue, Ventnor, New Jersey.
Gordy Combs, 605 North Derby Avenue.
And please raise your right hand. Each swear affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I don't see Mr. Myers yet, but once he's
on. I'm here.
Okay. Can you state your name and address for the record?
Sure. Chris Myers, 3808 Green Acres Road, Philadelphia, PA.
And can you please raise your right hand? Do you swear affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth?
I do.
All right, Mr. Myers, what is the capacity in which you're testifying?
I'm the one that designed the project.
Are you an architect?
No.
Okay. So you do a plan.
Correct. I'm also here for any questions about the material or anything that we're doing, I can answer for you.
Okay.
So I don't have an issue with them providing some testimony. He's obviously not a professional, so you know the board will give it the weight it needs.
Right. Exactly.
He's assisting. I have no issue with him.
That's why I clarified that.
Yep. Thank you.
Okay, Bob. Roger, we're going to start out with our engineer giving a preamble and then telling us about it, and then you'll begin. So, Roger, could you please give a preamble on this?
Yes, Chairman, thank you. Thank you, board members and the applicants. Again, it's a basic, simple application. I do want to point out that the plans submitted do have an engineer's signature on it, or actually they are designed by an engineer. James Clancy, PE, National Park, New Jersey. I do know who he is. So the report is based on the application of Gordy and Cynthia Combs, 605 North Derby Avenue, Block 312, Lot 2.02, Ventnor, New Jersey, seeking a C variance. It's within the R2 single family zoning district, preliminary firm zone AE elevation 9. It's a substantial benefit variance. The materials reviewed are on bottom of page 1. There's a survey provided by the applicant from Bob Catalano, dated July 30th, 2020, so it is up to date. The project description on page 2 is as follows. The applicant seeks a variance relief from the City of Ventnor's land use requirements to construct a three-season room on a portion of an existing deck attached to the rear of an existing house. The three-season room is not subject to FEMA requirements as it is not intended to be habitable space or conditioned space. The zoning schedule is on page 2, and they do need one variance for the proposed three-season room is 10 by 20, so it's going to be extending 10 feet out from the building for a width of 12 feet. So because of that, they need a rear yard setback for the building, whereas 15 feet is a required minimum rear yard setback, 21.69 feet exist, and 11.69 feet is proposed. They are seeking a waiver for the landscape plan. In light of this application, I think that would be a wise move. The room will occupy a portion of existing deck, so no lot coverage is affected. Building coverage is affected. They don't provide the areas, but by my calculations, they are still well under the building coverage requirements. They're under lot coverage requirements. It's just a rear yard setback for a 120 square foot three season room addition. And there aren't any street trees in the governor's strip as we discussed today, but that pretty much concludes my report. It's a very minor application.
Okay. All right. Before it begins, I want to make a statement is that about 35 years ago, I lived on the house adjacent to it on both sides. I lived at 607 and 601. So just for the record, I haven't been there in over 30 years, and I can make a fair and balanced decision on this property. So so that is the case, but they were my personal homes. Okay, please proceed. Cynthia?
Okay, sorry.
It's all yours.
All right. We moved here 13 years ago, and it was our summer house. We've since retired about 5 years ago. Our deck is much larger than the room that we're asking for, but it is falling down right now. So it's too hot to use. We don't use it at all. So we thought something like a three-season room that's smaller would serve us better since we're here year-round now. And we can enjoy it in the fall and the spring as well.
Could you define what you mean by a three-season room?
It'll be an enclosed room with two sliders and windows with screens so that we can use it in the fall and in the spring.
It won't be heated and air-conditioned?
No.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else you wish to bring before us?
Well, it just will make, for us, it'll make the house, we'll have another room and it'll make the house more enjoyable, especially in the winter because it's kind of dark here. So the back gets a lot of light and we would enjoy having more in the house.
Okay.
And it is much, much smaller than the deck that exists now.
Would you like to have Mr. Myers explain his plan?
Sure.
Okay.
So kind of to back up what Cindy said is basically right now there's a approximate 320 square foot deck that we're going to be tearing out. So the coverage with the room and the new deck combined will not equal out to what's already there. I'm sorry, go ahead.
How many square feet will be there?
I believe it's 240.
In the new room?
Or 260 total, 120 in the new room.
Okay.
The current deck that's there right now is currently almost 320 square feet that is getting removed.
All right.
Excuse me, is all of the deck being removed or just a portion of it?
The entire deck, because it's completely dilapidated and falling apart.
And you're rebuilding another portion of it, or?
Yes, just a smaller portion on the side. We're not replacing the entire deck. The side deck will only be 10 by 14.
So you're actually making the deck smaller?
Correct.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And Cynthia, what are the variances that you're applying for?
Just the back, the rear variance, which I think we're about 3 feet over. It's going to be 10 feet deep. And apparently we only have 7 feet without a variance.
Okay.
And it's only 12 feet wide.
12 feet wide.
Okay. Roger, how many feet are they short?
3.31.
Now, there's a space between, there's the two houses that are identical that are behind you. And there's a big side yard between those two. Where does this deck fall in that side yard? Does it fall against the houses or does it fall in the side yard, that's that open space behind you?
In the side yard.
Okay, it falls in the open space?
Yes.
Okay, I walked back there today. I hope you didn't mind.
Mm-hmm. But, No, that's okay.
All right. Do you have anything further to add?
No, I don't.
Okay. Board members, do you have any questions?
This is Roger. I just have a question for the applicant.
Mm-hmm.
You don't see any harm or detriment by asking for this 3.3-foot, 4-inch setback variance for a portion of 12 feet? You don't see any harm? Would there be any harm to your neighbors by doing this?
No, in fact, our deck is probably 3 feet away from our property line at this point. So actually, we're pulling back from our neighbors.
Okay. Do you see any benefit by, you explained the benefit and then there is no detriment by doing that. And you are under a lot coverage. You're actually reducing lot coverage, which is a benefit. Mm-hmm. Your increase in building coverage, as I mentioned in my report, is you're still way under your building coverage requirements.
Now, the other question that always comes up also is there are no street trees in the governorship in front of the house. Board, usually we request those.
Are there any on our block? I mean, we can put two trees out there. That's not a big problem, but I don't believe, we don't have, our street isn't lined with trees.
On our side.
On our side.
The other side is?
Two.
Or the other side has trees in various areas.
Two in the corner house.
Yeah. Okay.
Trees are a good idea.
Okay. Wait, two trees you're talking about?
It's a 60-foot lot. Two trees are required.
Okay. Not a problem.
Okay. Are you now complete?
Yes. Did the trees have any requirements? Does it have to be a certain kind of tree or?
My suggestion would be is to talk to Roger McLernan and he will advise you on the best type of trees to plant.
Okay.
That don't impede the sidewalk, that survive better in the salt environment.
We have a lot of Bradford pears here. I don't know if that would work.
We had Bradford pears on Burley Avenue and they survived Sandy. So
right,
they should work there.
Okay.
Over. Yeah.
Don't they tend to have shallow roots though?
Well, yeah, you have to get them pruned occasionally so they don't get top heavy. We used to get them pruned every year.
Yeah. Well, what would you suggest? Do you have a different kind you would suggest?
I put two purple plums in. They're great. They're not very expensive.
Okay.
Nice color. And they came back after that last salt and windstorm we had the last month, 2 months ago.
Right.
I thought they were gone. And they came right back with leaves on them again this summer. In August they did it. So.
Okay.
But why don't you stay, get in touch? We had suggestions here, but I would like to get in touch with Mr. McLernan, and he will give you a whole menu of things and give you some tips if you need it.
That sounds great.
Good suggestions. Great suggestions. Bobby?
We have a list in our ordinance, I think.
Yes. Yes, we do. And that's the case. Let's open up to the public. Jim, if we could open it up, please.
Is there anybody from the public who wishes to speak? Please make note in the chat section or by raising hands and you will be recognized.
No takers?
Nope.
Ask one more time.
Is there anybody from the public who wishes to speak? Please make notice in the chat section or by raising hands and you will be recognized.
Still no takers.
Nope.
The public portion is now closed on this application. Do you have any closing comments, Cynthia?
No, we would just appreciate if we could build that room. I think it would help
Okay.
Enhance the house and our experience in it.
All right, Leo, or any board members have any questions? If not, Leo, you're up.
Sure. C variance application, the one variance is a rear yard setback to the proposed three season room of 11.69 feet, where the requirement is 15 feet. It will add two street trees per Rogers agreement. And the other conditions will be the applicant will comply with any representations it made during the course of the hearing or any other conditions in Mr. McLaren's report, unless otherwise modified.
Okay. We have, I need a motion and a second for that.
Gladly make the motion.
Okay.
A second.
Okay, we have a second. Now we have a roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Landgraf?
I vote in favor of the application. I think it's a reasonable request. They're actually reducing the impervious coverage in the backyard of the property. I appreciate the offer to put the trees in, or agreeing to that. I think it will start a trend on some of our streets to bring back some of this, you know, elevated green space or whatever color the trees end up being. I don't see this as a detriment. None of the neighbors came out and objected to the application. That tells me they didn't have an issue with it. So I vote yes.
I didn't have a death certificate.
I have it.
Commissioner Kriebel.
I agree with everything that Commissioner Landgraf said. If you look at the property now, it reflects care to their green space. And I also agree, I think having the trees out of there may start a trend. And reducing the coverage in the backyard is helpful for public safety, and that those are little tight spaces. I think that helps them improve the value of their house. So I vote yes.
Jay Cook?
I'm going to vote yes. I think it's a win-win situation here. The deck is being moved further away from the adjoining properties. It's being reduced in size. They're gaining a little bit of utility to the state so they can enjoy their home a bit more. And they moved here, and we welcome you to be living here as full-time residents and stakeholders as well.
We're happy to be here.
We'd love to have you. And you're in a great neighborhood, by the way. And yep. And the way that it's placed is there's a wide side yard between the two rear homes. That front on Dorset Avenue. This piece is placed in an area that doesn't influence the other two adjoining homes. So it's a perfect placement that I can see. So these are all positive criteria that are working. And I think it's a benefit situation. At one time, there were street trees, and there were trees that were on adjoining properties. Sandy knocked some out. They weren't replaced. And they were taken. Others were taken out. And so on. But there were trees in there on that street at one time. And I'd like to see it come back.
Okay.
And that is the case. So congratulations.
Thank you very much. We appreciate
Roman
it.
Roman Zabby Hutch.
I also vote yes. The variance is well justified. It's going to make their life living and enjoying their backyard that much more. And as what Jay said, it does not have a negative impact on the neighbors. This is a very positive change. And thank you for the street trees.
No problem.
Lorraine Salata.
I like this application. I don't really see any negative impact on anything. Actually, there are a number of positive reasons to go ahead with it. And of course, adding street trees is always a plus. So a definite yes.
Thank you. Dan Smith III.
Yep. I also vote in favor. Great comments by the board. And thanks for being year-round residents and picking Ventnor. But I don't see any negative impact at all. And it's well-placed between the homes. And hope you enjoy it.
Thank you very much.
Congratulations to you and Gordy.
Thank you.
Right.
One more vote. I'm sorry.
I'm premature. Mike, you're
up. Right. I'm going to the bathroom. I'll vote in a few minutes. everything's positive. Anytime you get a reduction on a property, it throws up a positive flag. I vote in favor of it. Yes.
And Jay, okay. I'll just add that someone on the PEITZ Pites 000 at 607 North Derby.
Right.
They chimed in on the chat. 607 North Derby supports this plan. So I don't want them to feel left out. Kind of after the fact.
The Pitesmans, okay. Yes. Okay. Again, congratulations. And enjoy your property.
We certainly will. Thank you very much.
Okay. We are you are complete.
Okay. I'll check out. Thank you very much.
Right.
Good night.
Leo, do you have anything further to add? Anything
not on to the meeting? Not on this. There's one other brief thing.
Okay. Let's go over it.
I don't know if everyone got this email. We approved an application back in February of 2019 for 6625 Monmouth Avenue. It was a by right subdivision.
Yeah.
That created two lots and one of the conditions, and I don't necessarily recall why we put the condition in there, but we basically gave them there's an existing dwelling or an existing structure, and we said if you perfect the subdivision prior to demolition, you have to post a bond or some other form of payment with the city so that we have it, and then we gave them a time frame to demolish. They posted $25,000 cash with the city. I got a letter from the attorney, Steve Hankin, which hopefully everyone has. And
Leo, what was the address again?
6625 Monmouth Avenue. I believe it's on the water.
Yeah.
Richard Natow, NATOW, was the applicant, and Shelby Simmons.
Was the city vacated the street end?
Right.
Okay.
It's a pink house, isn't it?
Yes.
Yes, I remember that. Yeah.
Right.
So he sends us so there's a condition in there that says you got to demolish the home within a certain amount of time. They did perfect the subdivision, so it's technically two lots. They posted $25,000 with the city, which was the cost estimate for demolition in case they somehow were to abandon the thing. But what they're essentially asking for more time to demolish without that they're informally asking. And I said, I'd ask them to put, ask the board to put it on the agenda. It is a by right subdivision. Now they're asking, they supplied a DEP permit and they said that expires in May of 2025. That's the extension they're asking for. I don't know what the board thinks. So
they want to extend it for 5 years?
5 years?
No.
yeah. According to the letter, I mean,
we gave them, I think, a year or year and a half to do the demolition.
The initial, so we adopted the resolution in February of 2019, and we gave them until within 22 months, which I think I counted basically to the end of this year.
2 years.
Yeah, 22 months. Yeah,
right, roughly. Just shy of two. Which is more than we generally give most applicants on these type of things with this demolition involved.
Well, $25,000 in 5 years might not be enough.
Right.
True.
My comment is that we'd rather have this building down sooner than later, and have other new construction going in that area. It may not be in their things. But the application is done, and I think a 6 month extension is appropriate for it. If we're going to do an extension, but I don't see years. I don't know how other people feel, but the things are moving, the economy's going, and at some point in time, it's going to fall out, and then the project's lost.
Yeah, my understanding is that the shore now is hot. For new development. So properties are going, so this would be the proper time to do it.
The flood-prone house, too.
Reasonable.
Yeah. I mean, the house does not meet FEMA at all. It's they're my sentiments. I don't know
and I don't really feel strongly either way. My only thought was, if it was a by right subdivision, they could almost if our zoning doesn't change, they can almost reconsolidate the lots and then just they can might be able to come back in 5 years for another by right subdivision. I'm not suggesting that we give them 5 years. So it's a strange set of facts that, but it is a condition that we put in there, and there was a reason we put it in there.
That'd be amenable to a 6 month extension. That's it.
Okay. I agree. 6 months, I think, is.
It would be six months after the expiration.
Right,
exactly.
That would be June of 2021.
Something like that. And I'll tell them if they want more time, come back and make a formal application.
Now's the time.
Yeah.
Right.
Dan will attest, and I can attest to being.
Values are up, and why wouldn't you do it now?
The real question is, should you even be giving an extension? I mean, that's the first thing.
I want to be somewhat amenable. You know.
Right. I agree with you, Lance.
But did they give a reason why they need the extension?
They said the condition cannot be met due to several changed circumstances, including, for the most part, the current state of affairs due to COVID-19 and the Natals' need to continue to live there.
Leo? What was the name of the one? What was the name of the people?
Natale. What was the name of them? Richard Natale and Shelby Simmons.
Shelby Simmons is on the call, so I didn't know if you want to hear from this person.
Fine.
We can.
Yeah. Okay.
Might as well. Now's the time, I guess.
Let's bring it.
Shelby Simmons, do you wish to speak?
What is the address again?
6625 Monmouth.
The pink house, Tim.
Gotcha.
Ms. Simmons, can you hear me?
Gotcha.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yeah, state your name and I'll swear you in.
Well, it's Shelby Simmons and my husband's here.
Richard Natale.
Okay, can you raise your right hand? Each raise your right hand, each swear affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth?
Yes.
Okay.
Leo, could you handle this, please?
Sure. I mean,
you have the ball.
Well, technically, we have a condition of approval. This is to the two homeowners that basically required you to demolish by the end of the year. It is a condition of approval, and technically, to get relief from the condition, you have to come back before the board. I know I did get your attorney's letter. That's why I said I put it informally on the agenda and we'd discuss it. You heard what the board said, and we'll give you the chance to speak.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much for hearing us tonight. We were planning to tear the house down by the end of this year. And then I think we all know that COVID came along and put everybody's life on hold, especially ours. We ran into severe problems timing-wise with the just getting people to do anything. Architects were all backed up or not working at all. The biggest problem was the CAFRA approvals. There was nobody working out of Trenton. And we made the application, and it just sat and sat and sat. We had Ponzio as well as Hankin working to get an approval from CAFRA, and it went no place. So our scheduling was totally disrupted. And that's where we're at, basically. We're stuck. We couldn't get builders to give us any permit, any pricing, or anything, just because we couldn't get plans completed. We couldn't get plans approved, and everything just held up. And we're looking not to, we love our house. We've been there for 20 years. We maintain the property meticulously for what it is. And yeah, we realize it's an older house, but surprisingly, since people know that we're going to be tearing it down, we've had a lot of neighbors comment to us that people stop there and have their pictures taken for weddings and graduations and different things and we're not there all year, so we don't even know what's going on. But it's
you're pretty, having fun. You're having fun there.
Oh, we're having a blast. It's a great house.
I know you are. I see you having a good time. That's great.
Yeah. We have a family. We have, six grandchildren now, and they love being on the bay. But our biggest dilemma is really timing, and timing is working against us, as well as I think everybody else is trying to get things done down the shore. Workmen are just, nobody's aggressively doing anything time-wise. And
that's how 6 months get you what you need. Would put you to June of next year.
I'm sorry.
Would 6 months get you the time you need?
That puts us in the middle of summer. Now, an additional year would take it to at least at the end of the year, so we can get through the summer and then do the demolition. We don't want to be demolishing the house in the middle of the summer.
yeah. do the demo in September of
after
2021.
September.
This time next year.
Does that have a moratorium, Roger?
Because June of 2020.
We don't have a moratorium.
I think so. No.
Do you have approvals from CAFRA?
Yes. And also, I'm sorry.
Because they expire in 2025.
First question.
Right.
I just asked you if you have gotten your approvals from CAFRA, and you indicated that you did.
Yeah, we finally got it about 3 weeks ago.
So you haven't been able to get prices from Bulkhead
Right. I'm okay with going to next September just because of the fact that I agree that, look, we don't love people demoing things in the summertime. So if we give them till
October 1.
October 1, good date.
October 1 is actually a good date. And, you know, it gives them through the summer, through the good month, and then you have time. I think it's a good it's things can get done in that time period.
Okay, we appreciate it. I do have one question for the board, since I think everybody was involved in the approval process. Since it's a by right, and I don't understand the process, since it's a by right plan, why do we have a restriction time-wise to tear a house down that we're occupying?
Because you're subdividing.
The house has not been condemned or anything.
The building is, right. The lot line now goes through the middle of the building, correct?
Right.
Yeah. What is supposed to happen is that building is supposed to come down first. We agreed to let you keep it there to live in it and post a bond to demo that structure. You now have, right now, you've created non-conforming conditions because you have a lot line going through the middle of a building. So now you've created a non-conforming condition. We want to eliminate that. That's why the building needs to come down.
Okay. That makes sense.
Okay. I understand that now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does it exist as two lots? Was it perfected to the...
Yeah, they filed the subdivision.
It was perfected. Usually it's the building comes down before it's perfected.
Exactly.
But in this case, we're working with you. We're trying to work with everybody.
We've been on here for almost 3 hours.
Okay, let's just wrap it up.
I'm with you.
The board, administratively, can we extend this?
Yeah, I mean, I'm okay.
Or should we do a straw vote?
If everyone's okay, just doing all in favor, I'll attach something to the resolution.
All right. Is everyone in favor of extending this till October 1 of 2021?
Yes.
Any nays? There it is.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Right. Good luck. Good luck, guys. Yes.
All right. Take care. Okay. If there's no further business, can I have a motion for adjournment?
So moved.
Motion. Second.
Second.
Thank you. Good evening.
Good night, everyone.
Take care.
Good night, everybody.
Good job, everyone.
Good night.
Jim, thank you. Carmela, thank you.
Welcome.
You're welcome. Thanks, Jim.
Yep.
Good night, Jim.